The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Despite the good weather and the calm sea air, not all has been harmonious at the G7 summit in Carbis Bay. A row has erupted between Boris Johnson and French President Emmanuel Macron, who, in a heated discussion about sausages and post-Brexit trading difficulties, reportedly said that Northern Ireland was not part of the same country as the rest of the UK. The Foreign Secretary spoke to Andrew Marr about the incident.
So far as you're aware, and you've spoken to the Prime Minister, I'm sure, did President Macron of France describe Northern Ireland as being not a proper full part of the UK?
Well, Andrew, forgive me if I don't divulge the detail of what was discussed behind closed doors. What I
Go
will
on.
Say is this. What I can tell you is various EU figures here in Carbis Bay, but frankly, for months now and years, have characterised Northern Ireland as somehow a separate country. And that is wrong. It is a failure to understand the facts. It is a failure to appreciate what speaking around Northern Ireland in those terms and approaching the issue of the Northern Ireland Protocol in those terms does. It causes damage to businesses from both communities in Northern Ireland, creates deep consternation. And we wouldn't talk about Catalonia in Barcelona or Corsica in France in those ways. What we want now is a flexible approach which looks at all of the provisions in the Northern Ireland Protocol, not just those that protect the EU, but those that protect free flow of trade between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. The ball is in the EU's court. The PM was very clear about it. We're willing to be flexible and pragmatic, but they must come back with the reciprocal goodwill to make that happen.
The Prime Minister has indicated that it now looks very unlikely that the UK will see the full removal of social distancing and other COVID control measures on the anticipated date of June the 21st. This is largely due to a recent surge in cases of the Delta variant. Raab defended the probable delay until the final restrictions are lifted.
If you decide that you can't get rid of all those restrictions, do you think you can hold the Conservative Party together on that?
Yes, look, we'll be evidence-based, data-based. I think the key point is we want to move out of lockdown irreversibly. I think the vast majority of people in the country, but also in Parliament, will understand that. We don't want a yo-yo back in and out of measures. Of course, we really understand those that are hankering to get to the fourth step, both businesses, but also people who want to be able to socialise even more than you can under the current step three restrictions. So, we're sensitive to all those concerns. But we've got to be data and evidence driven. And it's that critical link, as I said, between transmission and hospitalisations, which is not the only test. There are four, but sure, is the one which is probably the most sensitive right now.
So what do you say to those people who are watching the television this morning in agony, thinking, that's the end of my business, that's the end of my job, I can't take any more of this, it's ridiculous. What do you say to them?
I share the anguish. We know businesses have been struggling through the pandemic. That's why we delivered this enormous package of support for businesses. We want to get out of step four as soon as we can, but we don't want to be going back and forth. We want to deal with it irreversibly, and that means we've just got to check the data. I'm not prejudicing any decision that we made tomorrow, trying to give viewers a sense of what's at stake. And also, in fairness, Andrew, we have said from the start we would open up to the fourth step no earlier than the 21st of June, and we said at the start we would always be guided by the evidence. I think we've been faithful to the roadmap and the strategy and the criteria.
Trevor Phillips asked Raab about the latest intelligence on where COVID-19 originated from, especially now that the Biden administration made clear that it was taking rumours of a lab leak much more seriously.
Have you discussed the Wuhan leak or alleged leak this weekend?
I haven't personally, but of course it's created part of the backdrop, and officials have been comparing notes on this. If you're asking me whether we think, on the balance of probabilities, if you like, that it originated in a lab, our best information for now is that it didn't. But we don't have all the answers. That's why internationally we wanted the review to be able to go in to China, to get all the answers, to have all the cooperation, so we have the full picture rather than these possible, potential, plausible options. But on balance, we do not believe that it came from a laboratory. We think it's much more likely to have been, to have jumped, if you like, from animals to humans.
Phillips also spoke to the former Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who sharply criticised the pledges given on vaccines by the world leaders at the Carbis Bay summit.
I think this summit will go down as a missed opportunity. A missed opportunity when we needed 11 billion vaccines. We've only got offered a plan for 1 billion. We needed $50 billion allocated to the vaccination of the world and only $5 billion. And I think this summit, I'm afraid, will also go down as an unforgivable moral failure when the richest countries are sitting around the table with the power to do something about it. Now that we've discovered the vaccine, we have not set out the comprehensive plan that will deliver vaccination by the middle of next year. Boris Johnson said on Sunday that this would be the greatest feat in medical history. He said it was the great challenge of post-war history. Well, I'm afraid there will be smiles, but there are not solutions. Millions of people will go unvaccinated and thousands of people, I'm afraid, will die.
The Shadow International Trade Secretary, Emily Thornberry, gave her verdict on the government's hopes to reform the Northern Ireland Protocol.
I think we just need to get this sorted out. I think it's completely ridiculous. I think that there are plenty of ways it can be sorted out, and the government needs to step up and do it. Many things have been suggested to it. We need to have a veterinary agreement with the EU. We don't have one at the moment. I personally think that the Swiss model is probably the best one that we should have. We should just get on with it. We should understand that when we sign up to international agreements, they are legally binding documents, and they need to be taken seriously, and we have to find a pragmatic way through this. I'm not saying that the European Union isn't being petty. I'm not saying that the number of stops on the border are, frankly, ridiculous. But they are sticking within the letter of the law, and we need to find a solution to that, and solutions are available. We just need to step back, take a deep breath, and look beyond the sausages and think, you know, what is the policy that needs to be fixed? And there are plenty of things out there. And as I say, a veterinary agreement along the lines that the Swiss have with the European Union seems to me to be a solution. But there are plenty of others, you know, a whole panoply of different things for them to pick. They just need to get on with it.
On Sky, Irish Prime Minister Micheál Martin talked about how to move on from the tensions caused by the protocol.
The European Union is willing and very engaged in endeavouring to find a resolution to the issues that have been raised in respect of the Northern Ireland, Ireland Protocol. And in my view, the channels do exist to get this resolved. And in particular, the Sefcovic-Frost process should be fully explored and optimised to get an agreement. And I think the prospects, in my view, if there's a will there on both sides, and there is a will there from the European Union side, I know that. I detect from the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. The British government is anxious to get a resolution of this. So I think we should work at it.
And finally, Professor Andrew Hayward, who advises the government's SAGE committee, told Marr that the UK should brace itself for more bad news.
Well, I think it's now very clear that we will have a substantial third wave of infections. The really big question is how much that wave of infections is going to translate into hospitalisations. The fact that we've got 55% of the adult population double vaccinated means that this will be substantially less bad than it could have been, but we still don't know exactly how bad it could be.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.